Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. The exhibition, Jamia Richmond Edwards, Another World and Yet the Same, is on view at the Welland Museum of Art at Hamilton College through June 14, 2026. It showcases the artist's interdisciplinary work in video, collage, and painting, and includes existing works alongside a newly created video and suite of paintings. Jamia Richmond Edwards was born and raised in Detroit. She studied painting and drawing at Jackson State University before earning an MFA from Howard University. In 2019, she was honored with the Joan Mitchell Foundation grant, leading to a residency in 2020. Her work has been exhibited at, among other places, El Segundo Museum of Art, Brooklyn Art Museum, California African American Museum, Frist Art Museum, and Houston Museum of Fine Art. Jamia Richmond Edwards, Another World and Yet the Same, is curated by Alexander Jarman, Assistant Curator of Exhibitions and Academic Outreach at the Welland. Artist and curator both join us now. Jamia and Alexander, welcome to the Roundtable.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Alex, let's begin with you. Introduce us to this amazing artist that you have a fantastic exhibition of up at the Welland.
We have been working with Jamia Richmond Edwards for 3 years on this project. And the final product that we have to share with everyone is called Jamia Richmond Edwards, Another World and Yet the Same. And the short overview is that you walk into this exhibition and you see these wonderful portraits that Jamia was painting from around 2019 when she's still living in DC. But she's thinking so much about her memories of growing up in Detroit. And you see the fashion, you can hear the music coming out of these paintings of Detroit. And you really get exposed to the culture of this incredible dynamic city. And then you move through these pictures that she created from the pandemic era, a time when so many of us were looking inwards. And these are very psychological portraits where she's exploring her own emotions and psyche. And then you move into sort of the main act, the second half of the show, which is this brand new body of work. It is a reinterpretation of a novel originally created in 1600 called Mundus Alter et Idem, essentially a British version of the Odyssey story. And Jamia has wonderfully transformed and translated that story for modern day audiences. And so instead of a bunch of 16th century British sailors, we see all of these fashionable people from Detroit, Michigan, on this epic expedition from their hometown all the way down to Antarctica.
An enormous element of stories like the Odyssey is that it's the, you know, it encapsulates the hero's journey. Who is the hero in the story of your artwork, Jamia? And I am hoping it's you.
For this particular body of work, it is a character by the name of Iceberg that I created, who is modeled after the likeness of my middle son, Yakalo. So it is me, right? Because that's my kid. As Alexander mentioned, there's several body of works included in the exhibition, you know, that dates back to 2019. And, you know, my work is all about the hero's journey, just looking at archetypes. And I typically use myself. I'm my main muse, so to speak. And, you know, for this body of work, I opened it up just because, you know, it's time to expand a little bit. I've worked through me for the past like 5 years obsessively. And I said, you know, okay, I could spread it out a little bit. I can include other characters, which are all family members. So every subject or a person in the exhibition is from the likeness of a family member. So it is still me, I will say, a little bit.
Can you take us back to when you first began creating art and some of the elements that fed into it and have brought you to where you are now?
Absolutely. So I call myself like a one-trick pony. I've done art literally my whole life. Like that's from age 3. I remember obsessively drawing Betty Boop. And then I would tear out like my siblings' school textbooks because the thing about textbooks, the beginning of a book, there's empty pages, right? There's blank pages. So I was like obsessively hunting for empty sheets, and I would draw Betty Boop and I would put Vaseline on the back of it and place it on the wall. I don't even know. And I have this memory at age like 4, 3, 4 doing this. So yeah, and I've really had a family that supported it and recognized it. And I'm also like very classically trained. So by time I'm 5 or 6, my grandfather was taking me to gifted and talented programs offered at the college. So from all the way from literally like a toddler up into, grammar school to college, post grad, I've always studied fine art, and it's just something that I always understood was possible. And I was really cultivated by like my family and community. I was always encouraged, while the outside world, when I would say, "Hey, I want to be an artist when I grow up," I cannot count how many times I heard, "Oh no, you would just make money when you die. Artists never." And something, even as a young child, I'm just like, yeah, they're not talking about me, them, but not I. So yeah, it's just a very purposeful life,
How did your family like come to that understanding themselves? It's so, I mean,
Yeah.
you rarely hear that. I'm talking to much more people who are like, my family said they were cool, but they said get a backup, et cetera, et cetera.
Absolutely. Well, I would say so. My grandfather, Castell Richmond, was an entrepreneur. He had a diamond business, a bread company, bread distribution. So I would say that my grandfather, he was around a lot of like brilliant people, and he was the one that really, recognized. Well, everyone recognized my talent, but he was the one was just like, okay, well, we have to get her into specialty programs. And so I would just say it's really part of like the legacy of my family. And keep in mind, my mother was a dancer. My grandfather, while he's doing all these amazing things, he and his siblings were part of a tap dancing troupe that traveled nationally. I don't even know if I ever told you that, Alexander. So I just think that I come from a family of creatives and performers, and I think it was just something that was always possible,
How have you made sure that you have, with all of that classical and fine art knowledge, become or remained or blossomed into a contemporary space and made the subjects of your work feel like they're fresh and for now?
Yeah, for sure. So when I graduated from undergrad, I lived in Milwaukee for 3 years. That's where my husband is from. And I joined a group that was called Abaya, which was led by a self-taught artist, Della Wells, who started making art at like the age 45, and Evelyn Terry, who wasn't self-taught. She trained at SAIC in Chicago. And so what's interesting is within this group that I was amongst many self-taught artists. And so immediately I recognized like that sovereignty and creation, right? And so after my husband and I decided to move into the DC, Maryland, Virginia area, I joined another group called Black Artists of DC. It was the same thing. You had your very formerly trained artists, but then again, I'm coming as to contact with self-taught artists. So and for me, I gravitated towards the self-taught artists because they just moved very authentically. There weren't any parameters in terms of like material expression. So between that, and I was a educator for 13 years, and just being around like young people, it helped keep me open-minded, I'll say that.
Coming from such a musical family and from Detroit, one of the best music towns in the world,
Yes.
how does music interface with and interact with your life and your art?
Yeah, so music has been a constant in my life since, I got, as I mentioned, my mother was a dancer. My sister, who's 13 years older than me, She, and just to give you context, she graduated from high school in like maybe 87, 88. But anyway, this is like when house music was, like it was just now like coming up. So by time, me, I pop up in 82. I am like really enthralled into like house music and techno, right? And so throughout my life, because the nature of just Detroit, I kind of forgot about it, but over the years I'm like, okay, yeah, I started playing an instrument at age 9. I danced competitively from 11 to age 18. Me and my girls at one point had a singing group. And this was just part of our expression, just I remember MC Hammer and like 357, and we would like learn the dance routines and challenge one another. So music, just the arts in general, has been very much a part of, my upbringing. So as I look at my fine art, I see the influence of the dance, the music, all those elements. And every time Brett Novick created a really amazing documentary, which, and it was all like sincere. I completely forgot that he was in my studio, but as I look back at this documentary he created, I'm dancing in my studio all the time. And so a lot of times when I'm in, actually creating the music, I'm, because I work intuitively, improvisationally, it's informing the decisions that I make and the marks that I make. So it's very much a part of, how I think,
I did see in the introductory video that the Wellen has for your gorgeous exhibition where some of that dancing is featured,
It
that you also tie your fine art, your visual art, to hip hop because you do multimedia like collage along with the painting. So
Absolutely.
you're sampling. How did you land on that practice? How did collage find you? Not that it's straightforward collage, but you know what I mean.
Absolutely. I would say this, going back to when I was in Milwaukee and working and with Della Wells, for instance, she was all collage, mixed media, and in these groups there were many doll makers, and how they're, just using all types of materials. It just really inspired me, and as I was reflecting, oftentimes when I'm thinking about my work, I think of it from a very classical lens. But then I'm like, girl, you from Detroit, born in the 80s. It's hip hop, right? And and now as I reflect, I'm like, I want to really contextualize that more. You know what I mean? In terms of, you see this through line in terms of Black Americana, but Americana expression, right? So from quilting and just self-taught artists in general, which is to me one of the most like genuine expressions, because it's not institutionalized, and I'm very pro academia, so let's make that clear. However, it's, to me, I feel it's very important to open up the scope of what creation can be. I'm using markers and crayons, I'm using everything, and these were things, growing up was kind of frowned upon. Like, no, you, if you're an artist, you got to oil paint, right?
The exhibition is Jamia Richmond Edwards, Another World and Yet the Same. It is on view at the Ruth and Elmer Wellen Museum of Art at Hamilton College through June 14th. Alex, what kind of programming and student interaction stuff does the Wellen have planned around this exhibition?
Yeah, we are bringing Jamia back to campus for a whole week, and we call that our Academic Engagement Week. And it's really a chance for people to hear from the artist and for Jamia's voice to be amplified. One of the things that I talk about all the time is I would say, much more than me working with artworks, I work with artists. And so you have to get to know the artist if you're going to do the types of exhibitions we do. And, so I've had this wonderful opportunity over 3 years to get to know Jamia, not just as an artist, but as a wife, as a mother of three children, as a very active community member. And so there's a lot of things that I know, but there's a lot of things that are Jamia's personal experiences that are connected to her art that come out through her art. And so we want people to be able to hear that directly from her. So Jamia's coming back to campus for a whole week. And I think the highlight for everybody listening is October 6th at 4:30. We're going to have a public lecture in which Jamia is going to talk about her entire career as an artist. So you're really going to get some of that background information that you've been diving into, like the music and her and the Detroit culture. And so we want everybody to come up to the campus to see that. And then she will be working with classes and she'll be leading them through the exhibition herself. She'll be doing studio visits, trying to inspire those seniors that are art majors and give them some advice for how to move forward with their career. And then in the spring, she's going to come back again and work with some of our classes more experientially. And literally bring some of that Detroit culture back to campus. And so I'm really excited about a line dancing workshop that she's currently devising with some of our professors that, again, everybody will be invited to come participate in.
Line dancing is very hip right now. Very, very hip.
It's in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The title of the exhibition is Another World and Yet the Same. Jamia, could you tell me about the meaning of that title?
Yeah, so I was inspired by this 17th century dystopian satire that I came across. I'm just a big nerd, right? And I came across it. I'm like, oh gosh, this is so good. And as I'm reading this, the synopsis of it, and it's as you connect it to the Odyssey, it's like, oh, it's the same thing over and over again, whether we're looking through the lens of 17th century or 2025, it's the artist and this idea of getting away, right? just creating a utopia and just it's a critique against the politics of the day, and I just found it very appropriate. And my last major exhibition that I had was titled Ancient Future, which opened in Miami 2 years ago, and it's this notion of like time collapsing time, right? Like, does time really exist? We're simultaneously living in the past, present, and future, right? It's all happening at once. And so, as I reflect to again these ideas that artists have worked through and will continue to work through because humanity, right? I just, I thought that it would be really appropriate to have a modern day version of this, and what will happen if this, this story takes place in Detroit, So yeah, that's the inspiration.
And Jamia, is really opening up to our students this idea of reinterpretation. And I remember her citing Romare Bearden's very famous collage art series from 1977, where he reinterpreted the Odyssey, one that's probably more known in the popular imagination, The Wiz, where we take Frank Elbaum's classic story and it's reinterpreted in 1978, but with Michael Jackson and Diana Ross and Richard Pryor. And that this is something that artists have done through time. And here's Jamia's version of the Odyssey. And it's a wonderful way to take this classic text and, exactly like she said, open it up to a brand new audience.
The exhibition is on view through June 14th, 2026. Thank you both so much for your time this morning. It's been wonderful speaking with you and getting to know you a bit.
Thank you so much.
Jamia Richmond Edwards, Another World and Yet the Same, is on view at the Welland Museum of Art at Hamilton College through June 14th, 2026. Hamilton.edu/Welland to learn more, and that link is posted along with this conversation at WAMC.org. You're listening to The Roundtable.